I want to read to you a couple of prophetic words that were given for Selma and for you individually. And before we get into the teaching, I just feel this is what the Lord wants release first. So we're speaking to the city first. Don't you like that? You know, God loves cities, I need to tell you. Those of you who don't yet know, He really loves a city named Jerusalem. And just like for a person that has a destiny, each one of you have a destiny, and each one of you have a call, and each one of you have a purpose. Each one of you have a blueprint that God wants you to step into that is far above what you can ask or even think or even dream or imagine. It's so grand. And God has the same thing for cities. And so I come to speak to you, but I also, sound makes a difference. I just have to tell you, just like you heard Pam, doesn't that make a difference? Sound prepares the way for the Holy Spirit to come in. And so I'm speaking this sound to the city. These words were given. The first word was given to a woman that we asked to speak prophetically into Selma. And I feel like this is the time to go ahead and read that word. So some of you are going to grab this for you personally, but I want all of you to believe it with me for Selma. Is that good? Okay. And I will, this is God speaking. Now, if you have trouble getting a hold of the reality that God still speaks, you're going to have to take it up with Him. Because He says He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He said He just wants to use us as His spokespeople. So tonight, humbly, we stand in that place as we agree with this word. And I will confirm with them a covenant of peace. And I will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land. And my people will dwell safely in the pasture land and sleep confidently. Right now, right then, God's healing somebody of insomnia right then. Who wants to claim that? All right. And I will make them, the places round about my hill, a blessing. God's saying He's going to make around here in your environs a blessing. And I will cause the showers to come down in their season. There shall be showers of blessing, of good ensured by God's favor. God's going to release showers of blessing. Now, maybe you just wanted a few blessings, and some of you, I love you, but tonight the Lord's going to release a new spirit of belief for you. And so I pray right now, belief, belief, belief be released in the room. I like a cooperative audience because it lets me know that we're all at least speaking English a little bit together. You're understanding my English. So I want you to really grab this in your spirit because there's something funny about us. How many of you have realized that you can take in something negative a lot faster than you can take in something positive? Strange people, aren't we? And at the same time, we're praying for the positive. But then when the positive is spoken, we have a hard time and we push it away. We're crazy. God, take away the spirit of crazy while you're at it. But the Lord says He wants to release showers of blessing. How many of you would say you need more blessings? So rain down, Lord. How many of you have heard words before that are positive and maybe they haven't happened yet? How come it can't be today that it's poof, isn't going to be ignited? Showers of blessing. You over there in the black jacket, showers of blessing are getting ready to come to you. Showers of blessing. I can literally in the spirit right now see them all around you. How many of you feel that? I feel things. Why don't we just all pray that we feel more of God? That would be a good thing. I want to feel more of God. Here's a shocker for you. Here's a scripture that's a shock. He says, you are the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now just pinch yourself, because nobody on earth yet has a revelation of it. Nobody. If we did, we would run out of here and we would not stop until the power of God was released. That's what the Word says. We are the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And I'm wondering if when we take those words here we are down here tonight, we take those words that God has spoken and they really merge, I think that's when the church is going to move out. So I want us to get an upgrade in belief tonight. You are the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So it's okay to me, if the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in me, I think Jesus felt things all the time. All the time. So I want you to feel, so you can experience something of heaven. It's time that the church experience something of heaven. And the trees of the field shall yield its fruit, and the earth shall yield its increase, and my people shall be secure in their land. I get to speak to a lot of different people. At the end of the day, problem is they may suffer really from something, insecurity. That may seem like a little thing to you, but it can literally block all kinds of things, especially blessings. God says, here's a promise to Selma. You're going to dwell securely in your land. And they shall be confident and understand and realize that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bars of their yoke and have delivered them out of the hand of those who have made slaves of them. Yay, God. I love God's Word. Y'all like God's Word? And this is the Word the Lord gave to me a couple of days ago for Selma. And it's a familiar scripture. But I have to tell you that what I'm really going to talk to you about tonight, well, a lot of times I think I'm going to talk about something and I really never get to it. But my purpose is to talk to you about lines because of a vision I had. And so when the Lord gave me this scripture and it already said, I want to talk to you about lines, it actually has that word in it about lines. So that was pretty exciting to me. And if you feel like you're sleepy, I need to cast a spirit of sleep off of you, because, you know, in the old church, the Puritans, they had this long stick with a feather on it and they'd go around and so usually if you fall asleep, that means you're the one who's getting ready to miss a blessing. So I don't mind just kind of coming and tickling you. So it's okay. Then he brought me again to the door of the house of the Lord. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the front of the temple was toward the east, and the waters came down from under and from the right side of the temple and the south side of the altar. Then he brought me out by the way of the north gate, and he led me around outside to the outer gate by the way that faces east. And behold, waters were running out on the right side. And when the man went on eastward with the measuring line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he caused me to pass through the waters that were ankle deep. And again he measured, cubits and caused me to pass through the waters, waters that reach to the knees. And again he measured 1,000 cubits and caused me to pass through the waters, waters that reached to the knees. And afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass through. For the waters had risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over or through. And he said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he led me and caused me to return to the bank of the river. And now when I had returned, behold, on the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and on the other. And he said, these waters pour out toward the eastern regions and go down into the Arabah, Jordan Valley, and into the Dead Sea. And when they shall enter into the sea of putrid waters, the waters shall be healed and made fresh. And wherever the double river shall go, every living creature which swarms shall live. And there shall be a great number of fish, because these waters go, wherever these waters go, that the waters of the sea may be healed and made fresh. And everything shall live wherever the river goes. So God is saying to Selma, get ready. I know those of you who've been around for a while, you've heard this a long time. First you grow, it's like you grow a little bit more, a little bit more. But it's like it's full blown now. How many of you know that scripture and have lived in that scripture and heard the scripture before? But it's like God is saying the rivers are flowing now. And it's time for the rivers to go. Well, let me tell you where the river is. The river's in here. The river's in here by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said, out of your belly, little old you, out of your belly would flow rivers of living water. And this is what God is speaking about in the Old Testament, but we are now in the New Testament, and it's time that we go, wow, God wants to release a river, but I am a participator in the release of the river. And wherever we release this river, it says everything is going to live. How many of you know that even inside of you, places inside of you need to live again? You reach a certain age and you, it's just like, come on, Lord. Let me see this, Lord, in my lifetime. That God says, there is a river that He's getting ready to release in Selma, whose streams make glad the city of our God. And wherever the rivers go, it says everything is going to be healed and come alive. How many of you have ever heard of the island called Fiji? Well, there was a move of God in Fiji, and it had to do with this. And it was a fulfillment of the prophecy. And in Fiji, some of the ministers on the island would get together and pray and cry out for the city. And they also had chiefs who were completely heathens. Didn't worship God, worshiped other gods. And one of the chiefs who was not a Christian went to Vignani, who was a Christian pastor. And he said to him, all of our rivers have dried up. There are no more fish. We don't have any more pastures. Everything's dying. And we don't know where else to go but to you Christians. Because we've been crying out to our gods and it's not working. So we're coming to you Christians. But what we want to see among you Christians is something we're wondering about. We're wondering about this thing y'all call love. We're wondering because we hear this is what you believe in. We hear this is what you talk about. And we hear this is what your God says. It's a good idea to love. And he says, I just wonder if all y'all love, what could begin to happen? That little statement caused this man of God to go over and find the pastor in the next little area close to him. And he said, you know, I just have to tell you, I wanted some of your members and blah, 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 blah. How many of you know it's blah, blah, blah? He went pastor to pastor to pastor to pastor. And all along he's saying, Jesus, give me your love. Give me your love. Give me your love. Give me your love. And they all got together and they just said, God, give us a spirit of love. I need so much more love. It's unbelievable. I don't know about you, but I am desperate for more love. I can love you tonight. Pam's played beautiful worship. I already have wonderful friends in here. I feel the spirit of love in here. But what about when I go out there to Walmart? Y'all, we got to have more of the spirit of love. Y'all with me? I'm desperate for more love. He is the lover of our soul. All this, you could know it, but we got to know it. So as these pastors got together in Fiji and they began to cry out, Lord, give us love, give us love, give us love. And they were broken before God. Oh God, please give us love. One day one of the wives of one of the pastors was walking by and the river had been black, no fish. And as she's walking by, all of a sudden the river's clear and the water's teeming with fish. Everybody begins to scream and yell. Fish are in the river. Fish are in the river. They run. They go. They don't even have to catch the fish with fishing poles. You know what they do? They just catch them with their hand. They just begin to pull them out into baskets. Pull them out little by little. This is what I'm saying. God is going to begin to release something through us where everywhere we go, it can happen. It's not just words. The Spirit of God can begin to move. And places that need a touch from God can be healed and come alive. And I just felt like God is saying, it's time. The rivers are going to run in Selma, Alabama. The river of the Holy Spirit. And I'm pretty excited about it. Because it's time. It's the water's rising. I think that's pretty awesome. I love the song, Oh No, Never Let Go. Through the calm, through the storm, through the highs, through the lows, oh God, never let go of me. I've been through a bit of a storm. And I have found the sustaining power of Jesus like I've never known it before. I had a dream. And in my dream, Jesus, just the form of Jesus, was behind these fall leaves were falling. And he said, say to me, come to me, Jesus. And in the dream, I was there and I was saying, come to me, Jesus. Come to me, Jesus. With the most heartfelt, everything in me was begging him to come. Come, Jesus. About a month after I had that dream and I kept doing it, I kept praying it, my mom had a stroke. And my mom couldn't talk. And it was one of those times where God can make even the most difficult things precious and sweet. She couldn't even make a sound. And so in the hospital, they gave us a sheet of paper that had the alphabet on it. She couldn't even make any sound at all. We went and prayed for her. They held up the sheet of paper. started just like you do with a child. She couldn't say any of our names. She couldn't say my father's name. Honestly, right after we prayed for her, I pointed to an A. A. Not that she sounded like a baby. She got to the, went on down, and she got to the P. I'm holding up the card. She said, P, P, P. And she looked at me and she said, Pam. And I broke. I don't know if I've ever broken in such a sweet, do you know what I mean by sweet breaking? She hadn't been able to make a sound. Now this was very much like a child. And I just put my head down. I was sitting in front of her in the hospital bed. I just put my head down on her shoulder and I just started crying, just weeping. I never knew how sweet your name can be. When you hear it from your mom, who can't say anything. She couldn't say anything. She was just still baby talk. When I put my head down on her shoulder, she started singing perfectly. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing. You can actually, when you have that kind of stroke, you can sing. That part of your brain comes back, even though you may not can talk. For 2 months, it was some of the sweetest times I ever had with my mom. It was like I had a baby again. Maybe some of you know what I mean if you're taking care of elderly parents. I delighted in every day. Every single day was a delight. And in the midst of it, in the midst of your storm, God's always working something beautiful. Birthed inside my mom was a faith that was beyond. She'd always loved the Lord, but all of a sudden my mom became a mighty woman of faith. She could only speak in kind of broken sentences. She would do her homework for hours, working with people to try and get her speech back. And my sister-in-law said to her, I am so proud of you. I'm so proud of how you've worked and that you're putting sentences together and that you're able to, we can understand you. And in my mom's little broken way, she said, I give God all my compliments. We all felt like we had a baby. And it was beautiful. And our whole family like came alive somehow watching her come forth in her faith. And then it was a bit of a shock. Unexpectedly and kind of shockingly, she had an accident in a golf cart and she changed addresses real quick. She went home to be with the Lord. And after 2 months of utter sweetness, my mom was in heaven, and some of you may know what I'm talking about. And after a while, you go through a little bit, and then all of a sudden, it just kind of hits you, if you know what I mean. And I prayed the best prayer you can pray. Do you know what the best prayer you can pray is? Help! And I just rocked back and forth for about 2 hours one day. Help, help, help. And I had an open-eyed vision, and this is what I want to talk to you about. It's changed my life. It was a big white piece of paper, and the right hand of God came with a big black pen, and He drew a line across the page. He drew a little dot above the line, and He said, stay above the line. And I felt whoosh, something come in me. God took me by the hand and began to unravel to me what that has meant. And what it means is I had to have a closer walk with Jesus than I've ever had before. And He began to show me different things that would keep me above the line. Above the line, for those of you who walked with Jesus for a while, means you're walking with Jesus. You're walking in the Spirit. You're abiding. All those words. But for some reason, Jesus changed all that to say, stay above the line. And above the line, He would say, don't say this, say it that way. He would change. He was changing how I was talking now, even though I'd helped my mom. He was teaching me how powerful our words are. That the power of life is in us. We can create things brand new just by our words. How many of you know that you may talk to a friend one way, or I may talk to you another way. But if I go home and talk to my husband, I'm talking very intimately, and I just get real lazy. Do you know what I mean? I just say whatever comes in my brain. How many of you do that? Even then, the Lord said, stay above the line. Create the most positive situation. I'd be getting ready just to share something simply, maybe about one of our children that may not be in the best light. The Lord would say, turn it around. Put it in the very best light. Tell your husband, this is the way it's going to be. That was a huge thing. Power of life. After what my mom had been through, I realized God was really saying, you have tremendous power in your words. The power of life is in your tongue. Pleasant words are a tree of life. They've done all kinds of studies with sound. Words are sound. God spoke. Worlds were created. If there's a river of the Holy Spirit that we're going to release, doesn't it make sense to you that this might be the gateway? This might be the gateway. Jesus is the Word who became flesh. And I believe that God, in this hour and in this time, is going to help us all begin to have new speech, where we can release words of life. And where you will release words. Where you will begin to purpose to give, like my mom said, compliments. You purpose to speak to people, to call them forth to be the best they can be. You couples, if you're here with your husband or your wife, I want to tell you, you could be praying for years and years and years that your wife become this. I want to tell you, if you speak those words that she's already that, she will become that. If you don't think she's very sweet, you begin to say to her, you are the sweetest person I know. At every turn, say, I just can't get over how sweet you are. You're always doing sweet things for me. Try it. They've discovered exactly what God has written. They've done all these tests now with sound. A man took a metal plate, sprinkled blue salt on it, hooked it up to an electrical cord and spoke through it. And if positive words were spoken into the microphone, the blue salt went into beautiful shapes. And if it was negative, it would just go all over the place randomly. I mean, they're proving what God has said all along. The power of life. We create with our mouth. And the greatest part of that test The man who was conducting the test decided there was someone who could speak in a language that would really make a difference. As they spoke into the microphone hooked up to the metal plate. So someone spoke in Hebrew. And they spoke the Aaronic blessing in Hebrew. That they, all the Jewish people still say the Aaronic blessing. And all of a sudden, that blue salt made a perfect Star of David. We have within us the power to create. I got to know it firsthand by realizing the sound out of my mom's voice. Nothing like that sound. But there's something now that she's in heaven that's been rising up in me. It's like I'm saying, Jesus, teach me how to talk all over. Let me learn to really talk like you talk. Let me really, really, not just Christianese, but really, let me speak your words. Really, let me speak life. Let me learn that this is how you were, Jesus. That wherever he went, people were healed. And I think it was because, hear what I'm saying, Jesus always was above the line. Jesus never went below the line. Jesus was always with the hand of the Father walking with him. He was always walking with him. He never thought, I'm going to take a break now and I'm going to go over here just for a minute and I'm going to leave my Christian life on the shelf or even the whole of it. You know why? He was consumed with the Holy Spirit. There weren't compartments and there weren't just teachings in compartments. The whole of him. I want the whole of me to belong to the whole of him. And I'm wondering if we all were desperate for that. Really. Really. Where it's just not enough to know what we know or be where we are, but where we go, oh, Jesus, that you have said, I am a co-heir with you. You said, I'm seated with you in heavenly places. That means I can always be above the line. I can always, when you think of the word line, do you think of the word alignment? I am rightly aligned with him, not because of anything I've done, not because of, it says it's not the works of righteousness that we've done. It's according to this incredible system called grace, which means he just forgives you, he loves you, he's erased your past, it's over, it's gone, it's done, close the book. And if we really believe that, just to believe that, you've got to stay above the line. Just for you to really live in that covenant and system of grace, you have to purpose to stay above the line. And you what? You know what? Never come into agreement about a negative thing about yourself. You're going, oh my gosh, but God says this is wrong and that's wrong. Yeah, and if you feel that sweet conviction, you come and you say, oh Jesus, can you change it? Then you feel him change you. He says you're the righteousness of God in Christ. We can't come into agreement with all those awful accusing thoughts that take you below the line. Are y'all with me? Please. God is going to teach you how to live above the line. God, feel the anointing so strong. It's like I see the vision right in front of me. He has taken you personally. And you're going to learn how to walk above the line. You're going to have such a tight walk with Jesus that even the people that are closest to you are going to be amazed. To live above the line with him means I'm going to walk hand in hand with him. You can walk hand in hand with him. You don't have to take a dip. We're so used to thinking, well, I can just... All I can tell you is, do I still cry? Yes, but I'm crying above the line. I don't know how to explain it. And when the Lord started saying, this is what He wanted me to talk about, I thought, Lord, I don't like to talk. I don't want to talk about that. Excuse me. But I felt like the Lord said, it's something that we all need. We need a new word for what we're about. We need a new way to explain it. We need a new picture that we can be above the line with Him. Below the line is not good. You can cry above the line. You can think about problems above the line. You can face no matter what above the line. But there's something about His presence cushioning you where you don't dip below the line and come into despair. And I just have been having the most wonderful time with Jesus. I believe the body of Christ is coming into our best hour with Jesus. It's not just going to be knowledge. It's going to be really that we're walking with Him. I said to myself, you don't need to write it down. You know where that scripture is. Lord, was I below the line? Thank you, Jesus. I know it by heart. There was a blind man. And he said he was desperate for Jesus to touch him. I'm desperate. How many of you can just say, if you're not desperate, there are places in you and there are times when you are desperate. Is that okay? It says he was desperate for a touch from Jesus. Oh, to get a touch from Jesus. And it says, and Jesus took him by the hand. And when I read that, all I could think about was the hand drawing the line, putting the dot above the line. It says he took him by the hand and he led him out of the village. And I have to tell you that when I just read that much, I felt that the Lord was saying, He is going to take each person that is open to it, to a new place. But it's going to be that He's going to need a little bit of alone time with you. I don't know how it's going to work out for you. But sometimes we have to get away. Jesus had to get away. He took the man by the hand and He led him out of the village. It says He touched him. He said the blind man looked and he saw men walking around like trees. And Jesus said, tell me what you see. Told him, he said, I see men walking around like trees. Jesus touched him again. And he saw everything plain. He saw everything. It says he saw everything plain and he even saw in the distance. I think the Lord wants to take the body of Christ by the hand and say, come on out just a little bit. It's time for me to touch you. It's time now. It's time where I want to, if you hadn't been touched once, He wants to touch you. And you may have seen things one way, even in your relationships. Let's just bring it home. Let's not keep it so super spiritual. You may be seeing your relationship with your family all wrong. Instead of it being one way, you've perceived it another way. You see, Jesus has got to touch us all again. We've got to have another fresh touch from Jesus. Because I know we've got to stay above the line. And for me to stay above the line, over and over, I've got to have Him touch me and say, I've got to keep touching you and keep touching you and keep touching you until you see things the way they really are. And here's the way things really are. Number one, you are greatly and totally, absolutely, lavishly loved by Jesus. Amen. Number one way to see yourself. You are loved by Jesus. And I believe there's coming something of God where we've known something of the love of Jesus, but I believe that we're getting ready to have something of the veil rent where we're going to experience more of the love of Jesus than we've ever known. Circumstantially, in a greater measure of His presence. Number one, when He really touches you, He's led you out of the village. Number one, you're going to have it down so deep inside of you. I'm His favorite. He loves me the best. I'm number one pick. I'm the pet of the class. He's so crazy about me. I wonder if He can see anybody else because all He's doing is looking at me. He's just madly in love with me. Paul said, I boast in the Lord. I believe that what he boasted about was he knew Jesus loved him. And if we've really been touched by Jesus, we're going to experience His love like never before. And you know, He loves you.
Yes.
He adores you. He thinks you're wonderful. And He's chosen you. He's called you by name. And He wants to heal you. And I just pray that the beautiful love of Jesus heal you. I pray that He create new vocal cords. Everything new in your throat. I pray that every part of it be made whole. Because you see, He's madly in love with you. And He's heard your cries. He's heard your heart cries. When we're touched by Him, when we feel Him, when we know He loves us, we're going to be like those people that have been crying out for a touch, you see. And when we know we're loved by Jesus, guess what? You love other people. I was in New York City and we were headed to a play and this man had set up where he was selling all these little funny things like little twirlies. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That lit up. Y'all know? Some of you are hello, Ruth. Woo-hoo. They're about like this. They have a little handle on them and you twirl them and they make noise. I don't know if y'all have ever seen those. Anyway, he was selling things like that. And he was selling these little hats that lit up, all kinds of things that you would have fun for a minute with and then put on your shelf, but maybe take to your children or your grandchildren. And so everybody on the way to the play walked right by him. He's pretty much right in front of the theater. And I just kind of stopped and was kind of looking at everything. He said, don't worry, lady. He said, I never sell anything before the play. But after the play, everybody feels so good. Everybody comes and they buy all my stuff. And it was just kind of this little picture of how we are. When you see something that makes you happy and you're all built up, everything in you is just kind of freed up. When you've been touched by Jesus, we're going to be able to turn into those people like they turned into in Fiji. It was a real authentic love. An authentic love that like it speaks about in the Word, miracle love, miraculous love. where the river of the Holy Spirit released in us, wherever it goes, people are going to be healed. Things are going to come alive. That's what it says. And I am at a place where I'm just having so much fun with Jesus that I'm probably being way more real than I've ever been. As soon as I dip below the line, I go, Jesus, I can tell I'm below the line. Pull me up. I'm not trying to get up myself, is what I want to tell you. Jesus, you get me there. I just believe that the hand of God has drawn a line, and He's going to take us all and just grab us and put us right above the line. And then as you walk day by day, putting your hand in His, He's going to show you how to stay above the line. He may say, don't say it like this, say it like this. Create it beautiful. Say it in a positive way. Don't say negative things about yourself. Turn it around and say something positive. I know that sounds, but that's all biblical. In this tiniest little thing, you create your world with your words. Jesus did. And His words were so powerful that everywhere He went, people were made whole. And He says that we will do greater things. But I think to see the greater things, I've got to learn how to live above the line. I want to learn how to live above the line. One of the last times I was with my mom, she walked with a cane. I'm kind of silly, I keep her cane. As a reminder, boy, I'd like to walk like my mom walked. She was the most fun, cutest, happiest, most joyful person I've ever known. She's a heroine in my eyes. I'm going to make her famous. I'm going to talk about her for the rest of her life. For the rest of my life, I'm going to talk about her life. She knew the joy of the Lord like very few people, especially in those last couple of months. So one of the last times I was with her, she had her little cane, and we went and had lunch, and it wasn't even such a great place, but she was so happy to be out of the hospital, out of the house, and she said, I am having so much time. She meant such a good time. We walked out. She's got her cane. And there was one of those trees where the roots were showing. And she hit the roots with a cane. She said, I have a new perspective on life. I love everything. Look at the beautiful roots. Look at the beautiful concrete. Look at the beautiful flowers. She had new eyes. She had a new way to speak. And then Jesus took her home. I want a new way to speak. I want a new way to see things. I want a new way to see, even in the distance, that God is good. Even in the distance, I want to believe everything about God is good, no matter what. Through the storm, God is good. Through the highs, through the lows, He'll never let go. He'll always be with us. And He will give you ability to see in the distance how much more He has for you. I'm trying to listen to the Lord. I'm trying to stay above the line here for a minute. The Lord wants to take some of you by the hand into a village of massive love. Some of you have had some rough things along the way. And it's like Jesus says, come on. Come into this place with me and just let me pour my love out on you in a tangible way. Somebody in here just recently, I feel like you've been through a broken marriage. And the Lord says, I'm just getting ready to put my hand in yours. And I'm getting ready to become everything that you need. One of the words the Lord gave me was, there's a scripture and it says, like a weaned child from his mother. The Lord said, Pam, I'm weaning you to myself. God is weaning all of us to himself in such a profound way. The sweetest relationship you have on earth, you're getting ready to know him that sweetly. And you right here with those two girls on either side, yeah. I feel like the Lord is really wanting you to know that I don't know how else to say this, but all white clouds are going to follow you. And there, in other words, only good things. A wonderful scripture that says goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Just start looking over your shoulder because goodness is going to be following you. And if I were you, I would just begin to speak that out. Everywhere I go, goodness is going to be there for me. White clouds are going to be all around me. You know, it's really good to decree those things about yourself. Amen. Those things, you create that atmosphere of miracles around yourself because God wants to give you miracles. How many of you would like to say, Jesus, take me by the hand, put me above the line? It's become a crazy prayer I have. Keep me above the line, Jesus. His right hand. It's funny, thought about it later. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. How many of you as a Christian think pleasures may not be a word that you can kind of even think about? Excuse me. Jesus doesn't like for me to have pleasures. Jesus says, at his right hand, we are in Christ. We're seated at the right hand of the Father. We're co-heirs with Him. He says, at His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. I want you to say with me, I receive the pleasures you have for me. I thank you ahead of time. Does that hurt? At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. God is so good. He's so awesome. He's so loving. I think about the scripture, and I'm closing with this. I think about the scripture that says, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. How many of you heard that? This may seem simplistic to you, but it dawned on me. Temple. These are your temples, right? You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. So, to really become the temple of the Holy Spirit, we've got to begin to think the thoughts that should come into the temple of the Holy Spirit, which means you just begin with how much Jesus loves you. It's the simplest of all. I took one of my best friends to see my mom. Mom said to her, I'm going to sing for you. My mom never sang until her stroke. She started singing for my friend because she was so proud she could. Jesus loves me, this I know. Something happens when we lose some things that we've been very dependent on. When some of it's stripped away, He's there and we're left with His love. And I believe that Selma, Alabama, could it be that Selma could be known as a city of love? Could it be that the river is going to rise so high The world is looking for a huge ignition of love. Father, I pray right now that by your Spirit, you take every one of us above the line. Take us by the hand, Jesus. Show us how to live above the line. Let us listen to those little promptings of your Holy Spirit, even in something as simple as get ready to talk. Let us learn how to frame things with our words that can be creative, to actually create things new, and to call people forth into their best light. Lord, let us put our hand in your hand. Take us to that place, Jesus, where we can so live above the line. Through the storm, through the calm, let us know, Jesus, you're never, ever going to let go of us. And God, I just pray in this house, in this church, I thank you that the water level has risen, Lord Jesus. I thank you for the rise of the water level. Freedom in the Spirit. Each one walking through those doors, sensing that they have put their hands into the hand of Jesus. So I thank you, Father. Just take this precious sister. Just let her live in that place so powerfully above the line that all of a sudden all of her life is going to make more sense than it ever has. I just give you praise, Jesus, for what you've done. Thank you, Jesus. We heard earlier that you're doing a brand new thing in marriages in Selma. That's a good thing. How many of you that are married like that? So, Lord, I release that new thing that you're going to do for marriages. Make every marriage in this house tonight sweet, sweeter than it's ever been before. Let us find that spot in you where we just step into something brand new, where we're just going, oh, my goodness, I'm loving what's happening. I feel sweet, she feels sweet, he feels sweet. This is awesome. Keep it coming, Jesus. Keep it coming. That's supernatural. We pray, let heaven come down to earth. Isn't that awesome? So I pray seriously for every marriage. Holy Spirit, make it new. Let your sweetness invade every couple here. Are you two married back here? Can I pray for y'all? Father, I just want to pray that by your Spirit tonight, you take...